All right, guys, we're back. Another episode of Brushing the Bat with Colby White. We have the honor and the privilege of having an NCAA legend on the show with us today. I told her before we got started, I had to apologize. I just called her an SEC legend earlier this week, and I felt really bad about it, so I wanted to get that out of the air, you know, get it out on the air immediately, get that out of the way. We're going to be talking today with Miss Mia Davidson-Smith. She joins us today. If you don't know who she is, you've been hiding under a rock. She's a former softball star of Mississippi State University, hashtag Hail State. During her time at Star Vegas, she was named the NFCA Catcher of the Year. She just happens to be a two-time All-American while she was there. And what we were talking about earlier, SEC legend, NCAA legend. She's also the career home run leader with 93 round trippers. And you say, that's fantastic. That's 93 in the SEC, guys. And that's men and women. That's not just in the ladies. So we are excited to have her here today. And, you know, in her spare time now, she just plays professionally for a group called Athletes Unlimited. Mia, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. I'm really excited to get going. So, yeah, whatever you have.
From this point on, do I refer to you as Miss Davidson-Smith, Miss Davidson, Mia? How do we want to go from this point forward?
Mia's fine. Mia's perfect.
Thank goodness, because I'm telling you, Davidson-Smith was going to wear me out before we got done tonight.
No, so
we'll talk about that Smith thing in a minute. Let's get started there.
Yeah.
All right. The title of the episode today is, how legends are made. But you don't come out a legend. You're born, you turn into a legend. So at that point, you got to go back to the beginning. So let's talk about little Mia. Way back in the day, Hillsboro, North Carolina. I mean, what was it like growing up? Were you an athlete from the minute you were able to walk? Or did you pick up sports later in life? I'm assuming most girls start as early as they possibly can. So
I started playing t-ball around like 3-4. I think I started playing, my dad, I was playing up with my sister, and we kind of lied about our age a little bit, told him I was 5. And then I started playing t-ball then me and my dad were actually just talking about it the other day. He was like, I made this really crazy catch from a kid that had no business being out there. And he said ever since then, he knew that I was going to do something special, hopefully. And it worked out pretty great. So, yeah.
So we've already established she's a liar, but she's going to promise to tell the truth today. So, all right. So how much are your sister is Montana? She's older than you. Did you model your game after her, or did she learn stuff from you? How'd that work?
Honestly, we're like very different how we play. So she's more like an aggressive, go get the ball, go hard at it. And I'm more of like, I think through it and stuff, but I think we did great since we were so close. We worked really well with each other. So she taught me how to be a little more aggressive, and I taught her to, hey, let's slow it down. Let's think about it. And we kind of took different things from each other, and it helped because we played Mississippi State together. We played travel ball. And since we're only like a year apart, it kind of helped out where we grew up playing together. And we wanted to do it in college. We weren't sick of each other just yet.
Well, I knew in the early life, like I said earlier, I knew girls love to start early. And I was going to bring up travel ball because first of all, Hillsboro sounds like a metropolis. I don't know. It could be huge. It couldn't be huge. I don't really know. Yeah. I know Chapel Hill is a pretty good sized place, and I know you're pretty close to that. Travel ball from what age? From when you lied when you were 5 to play at 7 and how long?
Yeah, well, I didn't start playing travel softball until I was 8, but I played on travel baseball before then because where I'm from, softball wasn't really a thing necessarily. So to get on my travel softball team, I had to travel like an hour to like Garner, Clayton, North Carolina to even start playing softball. And then it was just from there, I played baseball until up then, and then I kind of played both for a little bit, and then I finally decided, hey, let's do this softball thing. It might work out for me. And happened, it did. So
I see. So what you're telling me, what I heard from that part of the story was you were too good to play with the boys, so you had to they made you go play softball,
something like that, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, you when you make the guys look bad, they don't want you on the field with them,
something like that. But it was fun. When I was little, so my dad took me to get a haircut. That's just pretty much the story. And I got it too short for my mom's liking. So when I wore a hat, I had to wear like a little ponytail and a clip under it. So after every game, I'd have to go take my hat off. Like, oh my gosh, you're a girl. And be like, yeah. And it was see all the boys' face after we won tournaments with me on the team was pretty cool.
Unbelievable. I'm pretty sure at this point you're glad you made the switch to full-time softball, though.
Oh, absolutely. So much fun. Yes.
All right. So tell me what it's like. What was a typical day for young Mia in the town that you grew up in?
So usually it's just school. I played multiple sports growing up, too. Like, throughout middle school, high school, I played basketball, volleyball, softball all throughout my senior year of high school. So I always stayed busy, always like being active, doing stuff outside. So I wake up, go to school. After school, my dad will take me and my sister to the field. We'll go practice some. And then if we were playing like a different sport, we'll do that first and then go practice softball after. So we always got a little bit of something, some work in there, even when we're off on doing other sports and stuff like that. Because we always wanted to be successful in other sports to make sure that we're decent at them, but softball was still a priority. So we try to make it work, but that's pretty much it. And then we'll come home and eat dinner, talk, be with family, and then have a good time.
Playing ball and going to school. Boy, I tell you, it sounds like a lot. That sounds like a pretty good deal right now, doesn't it?
Got a whole lot of
fun doing. You play right now.
Absolutely.
All right, so where you grew up is really close to Chapel Hill, which is where the
University about like 15 minutes. Yeah.
University of North Carolina is there.
Yeah.
So was that the team you were like rooting for when you were growing up? Or, I mean, I know you end up at Mississippi State, but would you have played closer to home? Or,
yeah, well, I thought about it. Well, actually, growing up, I was a big Duke fan because my grandma worked for Duke University. Yeah, I was a big Duke fan.
You lucky they didn't throw you out of state.
I know. But, yeah, I was a big Duke fan growing up. And I wanted to play for Duke, but at the time they didn't have a team. So when I was getting heavily recruited, I kind of was like, all right, let's think about it. And then North Carolina was looking at me, but I told myself I kind of want to branch out and go somewhere else and experience something else. So I went from a small town to maybe a little bit smaller but more family-oriented, which kind of worked out better, you know. Loved every second of it.
So you're a Duke fan. Man, all the UNC folks are like, you got to be kidding
me. They're like, goodbye. From our campus.
Yeah. But that's okay, though, because you said your grandmother worked for Duke.
Yeah, she worked for Duke Hospital, which is Duke is like about 20, 15 minutes as well. So I was pretty close to all three schools, like in the Triangle area is what we call it. Like Duke, UNC, NC State. So, but yeah, my family is diehard Duke fans all the way. So it's been fun.
I know a lot of folks in Mississippi that are glad you and your sister both ended up in Starkville.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's like, well, when I first got to Starkville, I was like, I didn't really understand like the Ole Miss, Mississippi State rivalry. And I was like, oh, I mean, is it kind of like Duke and UNC, I guess? They're like, yeah, it's like that, but it's the South. I said, oh, this should be interesting. But yeah, it's been crazy getting to play Ole Miss and then going to the Egg Bowls and then playing them in 3-game series. They're like super intense and it's so much fun.
Yeah, I know all about the Duke, North Carolina, kind of rival. And, you know, and it's more in basketball than it is anything, but you had no idea what you were walking into with the whole Ole Miss, Mississippi State rivalry.
Yes, yeah, even the Cowboys in Mississippi State.
Yeah, that was a train wreck you walked into because I'm telling you.
I was like, what's
See, I don't know if it's the same way in North Carolina as it is here, but you had to declare at birth. The first words out of your mouth either had to be Ole Miss or Mississippi State. That's you declare your loyalty as soon as you're able to speak in the state of Mississippi.
Oh, absolutely. That's how here it is. Duke, UNC. Then there's like the little percentage who's NC State. But mainly it was like Duke, UNC, either one or the other. And then people are very intense when it comes to after those Duke, UNC basketball games. It's super intense. You're like, should I say anything? Should I talk some smack about how Duke won? Or should I wait for UNC to talk smack and stuff? It's the next day you're just ready for something to happen at school.
I understand. Yeah. It's the same way here. You know, that's the week after like the Egg Bowl in football. Mm-hmm. That is either the loudest or the quietest week of the of the year. So
absolutely.
All right. So growing up, playing every kind of sport that your school offered. Mm-hmm. I didn't even mention that while you were at Mississippi State, you stayed on the honor roll here. I'm assuming that you had to be quite an excellent student while you were going through school also.
Oh, absolutely. My mom made sure that we always had good grades because growing up, women, were now just getting professional sports and stuff. She's like, well, grades are super important. I'd rather you have good grades and make sure everything's on check there before school, because as you get recruited now, they look at your grades first. Regardless how good you are, if your grades aren't great, they're not going to look at you. And so my mom always said, A's and B's, A's and B's. Well, luckily, I worked my butt off and I was a straight A student throughout high school. I was like a 4.8 GPA or something like that. It was hard, but like I really took pride in my grades because it took me a little bit to get going, and like it doesn't come as easy as it did with my sister and my brother, who are super smart. So I really took pride in when I had got a report card that said all A's on it or A's and B's, and especially in college too.
Well, that was a question I was going to ask off of that was you or your sister, she's not here to defend herself, but you or her smarter going, coming up through school, but you
Oh,
just said she's super
yeah.
smart. So.
She's super smart. She can go in
Super
a test,
smart.
not try, and she gets A. She's like, oh, yeah, I didn't study. I was like, must be nice.
Yeah.
She's
And
so
you
smart.
spent 4 hours studying for a test. She spent like 4 minutes. So yeah, I
Literally,
understand.
literally.
I had friends like it used to aggravate me too. So, all right. So, on a percentage, sports versus academics. Now, when you were coming up, did you put as much emphasis on academics as sports? Was it like a 50-50 or a 70-30? How was that?
I mean, I think it was mostly 50-50 because if we didn't have good grades, it's kind of took a toll on our sports, because you're like, oh, I had a bad test that day. Kind of affects how I played or how I practiced, because I know how much like school meant to me and that I want good grades, good GPAs, because like if you don't get this athletic scholarship, you got to find academics. So if you don't have the good grades, but luckily, thank you, Mississippi State, I didn't have to pay for college full ride. So that was very nice. I
Maybe Hail
yeah.
State.
Yeah, I'll say to that. But yeah, I think grades are super important. Like sports came easy to me. Sports was a thing that was very natural. So honestly, I think grades I probably took more pride in or more time to work with than sports did, because sports just came so easy.
And I'm assuming your parents, as much
Oh
as they
yeah.
wanted to see see these your kids be successful in sports, they were pushing academics super
Oh,
hard.
absolutely. Hundred
I
percent.
know growing
Yeah.
up, my dad made it real simple. He said, if you don't make good grades, you don't play anything. So
Yeah, that's how
during
my mom
whatever
was, my
season that I
dad.
was playing, I worked my butt off to keep my grades up.
Absolutely. It's kind of funny because one year I didn't play volleyball because I was like trying to focus on something, and my grade, I kind of got a little lazy and procrastinated. But usually when I play sports, my grades are usually better for some reason. I guess because like, oh, I got to get it done in order to like have practice and stuff like that. So sports kind of helps
That
with my grades
hyper
a little
focus is
bit.
what that's called.
Yes.
All right, so super smart, well, extremely smart. You said your sister and brother were super smart. You were extremely smart. You made good grades. You played at the highest level all the way through school, every sport you had. Was there a moment playing all those sports where softball wasn't the answer? You thought you were going to do something else?
I don't think so, honestly. I just always fell in love with softball as a kid. Like when I get on that field, it's kind of like a stress reliever for me. Like when I'm on the field, that's all I care about. I just care about having fun, going out there and playing the game that I love, really. Softball's, I mean, there's been points where softball gets frustrating because it's literally called the game of failure. But at the same time, I've learned so many life lessons and stuff. And softball's always been my thing. And I hope to do it for the next 20 years, hopefully, if I can, depending on how my body is.
All right, so if softball was your thing and you knew it, when was that moment? Like, when was that aha moment where you said, you know what? I think I'm pretty good at this. I think I could play this for quite a while. Like, when was
Yeah.
that moment?
So it's funny you asked that, because UNC at the time had a softball team. So on every Monday night, my dad would take my sister and I to these hitting clinics on Monday nights for an hour. And this at the time, this is when Boo Gillette, who was a assistant coach there, and we started taking some hacks because we just got on this travel team called the Lady Lightning Gold. And he was like, hey, come up to UNC and come to this little clinic for an hour. And Boo Gillette was there and she was working with me. And she was like, I think you have potential to be a great hitter, a great softball player if you really want to do this. And then that's when things really got serious with softball. And I was like, I was hitting like balls over the fence as a like a eight, like an 11-year-old. And I was like, maybe I can do this. And being on a college stadium, hitting balls over the fence is like, this is something that's truly special that not many people get to say they get to do. And I was like, I think I can do it. And so I told my dad, and we just kind of hit the ground running with it. And then my sister tagged along because she started softball a little later than me with travel ball. She was a really big into the competitive cheerleading. She was super good at that. Like, she was doing all these folds, back tucks, that people in cheerleading know what I'm talking about. And she was like 9 years old. But one day we were short with players from our travel team. She came and she fell in love with it. And then since we were both with the UNC for those clinics, we're like, maybe we can do this. And maybe we did. And so from that on, every Monday we'd go there. And then we started doing camps and stuff. And coaches started emailing, calling, and just right fit came along. And now I'm here. So, yeah.
So we're lucky to even have seen your sister at Mississippi State. She was chasing an Olympic dream. She wanted to be a gymnast.
Yeah, she was good too, but she fell in love with softball. And actually, Mississippi State, she was on their radar first. She played at this tournament. I wasn't old enough yet. It's called Adidas Futures Tournament in Utah.
You could have just lied about your age. You did it earlier.
So. I know. I should have. Might as well. But they saw her first. She did really well in that tournament. And then they came to watch her in Birmingham, Alabama. And I was there. And we both did really well. And they're like, oh, snap. There's these Davidson sisters who look really good. So if it wasn't for her, Mississippi State wouldn't even be a thing because they looked at her first and they wanted us together. So it kind of worked out perfectly.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know now. If you're 11 years old and you're jacking balls out of a college softball stadium, I'm pretty sure a lot of teams were looking at you.
Yeah, but at the time, like, that's when recruiting was it. But if it wasn't for her, when she kind of had an interest in Mississippi State, it probably wouldn't have sparked my interest too, because I knew growing up I wanted to play softball with my sister because we were just super close. And I knew that, like, you only get 4 years of it, so why not make experience out of it? And and honestly, I didn't know what to expect. She went on a visit from Mississippi State. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't expect to fall in love with the campus. I didn't expect to fall in love with everything about Mississippi State. And this was the time before, like, Dooley Noble was redone. Our field was redone. It was when everything was – there's, like, not much there, but just – how I got there and I fell in love with it, it was all because of her. So thank her for making us go to Mississippi State, because we both fell in love with it because of her.
There you go. It's a special place too. So
absolutely. Yes. It's iconic. Just the cowbells, the baseball, football, any sport you go to, it's just a blast.
Just a quick side question before we get any deeper into it. Hey, how many have you made a few trips back to Starkville since you started your professional journey?
Yeah, actually this past year I was a grad student coach there. Okay. So I was on the other end of it, helping them during the season. And then actually my little brother, he's about to go there this fall for college. He's gonna be in, like, agriculture or something, so it gives me another chance to get back there and see everything.
Yeah, I was just wondering, I mean you're a well-established star now, and now that you play professionally, were you getting hounded by folks, you know, hey, there's Mia Davidson Smith or Mia Smith or whatever, you know, they following you down the sidewalk and all that kind of stuff?
So. No, I don't think I've hit that just yet.
I don't know. Now.
I just kind of mind my own business there. And then honestly, it's mainly just little girls at games who come up to me, and I'm okay with that, but never really in, like, town. People would stare at me, but that's about it. No one's really came up to me and
introduced themselves. Where do I know her from? I know. You're talking about that hadn't started yet. I was about to ask you, had they already talked about putting a statue up for you? You know, they got statues.
I don't know.
They got to up over at your field, so.
I mean, it'll be super nice, but, you know.
That'd be crazy, would it?
Yeah, time will tell.
All right, so if you had to describe yourself as a type of player you are, type of individual you are, would you be considered self-motivated? Do you feed off the team or the crowd to get you hyped up? And what type of player? Because, I mean, your personality has off the field's got to bleed into on the field and vice versa. So what type of player or individual are you?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. Like, I know sometimes it's like it's all about how you – excuse me, about self-motivation. You have to have the confidence to step in the box and know that you're going to be successful. At the same time, though, knowing that you're playing for something bigger than yourself is super important to me. Knowing that, okay, if I get this hit, we're going to help win the ball game. And I think that also motivates me well. But, like, if I don't have the confidence and the pride in myself to make sure I do well, that's it's kind of like 50-50 for me. I want to do well for the team, but also want to do well and have the confidence to know that any pitcher that steps into that box isn't going to beat me. So it's a little bit of both. You know, you have to have both in order to play well, I think, in my opinion. And so I really take pride in playing on the front of my jersey as well as what's on the back of my jersey.
Are you a first inning at bat or a sixth inning at bat? Are you amped up, or do you kind of bring yourself down, kind of mellow out as you step out of the box, or like are you super on edge and just wanting to explode, or are you kind of slowing the heart rate down? I'm just gonna calm my nerve. I'm gonna step into the box, just do my job. What kind of player does it? Does that flux during the game for you?
I think I'm more of a stay calm, stay collective. Take your time, be in the moment, not necessarily too amped up. Like, there's times where if it's like a big moment in the game, I'll be amped up, but most of the time I'm very calm and collective unless like something just roused me up and I'm ready to go. But a lot of times I try to stay calm, I'm really big about trying to control my breathing when I play, because if I can control my breathing, I can stay calm and stay confident.
Well, I've had a few opportunities that we talked before we got started. I've had a few opportunities to watch you at the college level. I've seen some of your professional, are we talking about that? You know, the ESPN family of networks. I saw a few of your games at the professional level. Now, I don't ever see you get right. I mean, nothing rattles you. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I don't see the emphatic bat flips when you hit a ball, you know, 300 feet or whatever. And when you're in the field, when you're playing in the field, you know, you're behind the plate catching, nothing rattles you, nothing shakes you up. So I was just wondering, was that something that just came natural to you, or you had to kind of train yourself to do that over all these years? Or
I think it kind of came natural. There's sometimes where I get kind of sped up, but as I got older, I think I've learned to control it a lot better. And then like, I get rattled a lot, but a lot of times if I get rattled, I get quiet. And so I try to be more vocal and stuff like that, even though like, because when I play, I'm very observant and I try to think about what's going to happen the next play or five plays later, or thinking about my bat, how can I adjust to the next pitch versus the next at bat. So there's a lot of things going in my head, a million miles an hour. So even as it doesn't look like I'm not like not crazy or not focused, it's rolling in there. And so any type of way that just I try to stay calm, that's how I know I play my best. So if I get too riled up or too overwhelmed, I know I get to overthinking and then I don't play my best or I don't do well. But I think it's always come natural. But also I've had people along the way help me control like my nerves and stuff like that too. If that makes any sense.
It's a classic analogy of a duck. Everything looks calm on top of the water and, you know, paddling like crazy under the water. So.
Absolutely.
Control chaos.
I think that's a perfect definition.
Sort of like Marvel. Here's a Marvel reference for you. You're sort of like She-Hulk. You know, you just don't want to. If you go green on somebody, it's gonna be bad for them. It's just all
like something like that. That's perfect. Perfect definition. Yeah. Heck yeah.
All right. So we got all that high school nonsense out of the way. You had a fantastic time in high school. You did all the high school things. Mm-hmm. You got the opportunity to move on to the college level to play ball. Like you said yourself, you went to Mississippi State. It was actually your sister's visits where you kind of were first introduced to it. You said you fell in love with the location, the campus, everything. So you make it from North Carolina to Mississippi. Bit of a culture shock. I'm gonna have to guess.
Yeah, a little bit.
It takes a little bit getting used to, but you know what? Mississippi gets a bad rap. There are some beautiful places in Mississippi.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
All right. So you make it on campus, incoming freshman, and first week you're like, "What have I gotten myself into? What in the world?"
Yeah. But I think, honestly, I think I was kind of spoiled with having my sister there. She got to do it before I did. She really, because she came in a year before me, but she redshirted my year. I think because I had her there, it helped me, adapt faster than normal freshmen do, honestly. Because she told me, what do I got to do? What do I don't do? How do I do this? What's the lingo? How is our culture? I think if it wasn't for her, I would probably be running around like a chicken with a head cut off, honestly. She kind of made me make sure I was dialed in and ready to go from the get-go. So honestly, a lot of things, if it wasn't for my sister, I probably wouldn't be the player or person I am today because of her, because she helped me along the way so much.
Well, I was going to talk a little bit about the highs and lows of your college days. Mm-hmm. After talking to you about your education, that was the easy part. The books at Mississippi State were the easy part. You didn't have any trouble in any classes. You just kind of breezed through.
Sometimes, yeah, there are some, but like, you know, if it's something I'm interested in, I kind of love doing, like, studying it. It's stuff like the only times it kind of got hard is stuff that I wasn't really interested in. So I'm like, oh, why do I got to do this class? But knowing me, I wanted to get good grades. But yes, honestly, school wasn't terrible. And I could make my own schedule and have things ready to go and stuff like that. That's what I love. It's like, dang, all my teachers back in high school said, oh, they do this in college. They never did what they said in college. They lied. But I love college.
I tell people all the time, college is a whole, it's a different universe compared to high school.
Yes.
All right. So let me see if I was reading kinesiology.
Yes.
Thank goodness. If I'd have swung and missed on that one, we'd have had to shut it down right there.
It's all good.
Kinesiology. When are we going to use that? In about 20 years when you get through playing ball? Or?
Well, it helps. Kind of helps with the – because I want to be a coach after professional softball. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to go into the coaching side because I like being very analytical with softball. And then having Josh Johnson with Rapsodo and then, like, all of our coaches, we loved using Rapsodo and different stuff.
Was it Justin Aguilar? We had him on as a previous guest with Rapsodo. Tell you, him and Kobe were talking about, I thought I knew baseball. They were talking about stuff. It was like Mars. I had no idea what they were talking about.
So it's crazy. Yeah, we used that and then blast motion sensors. We used a lot of that stuff. And then I think the year after COVID, a guy from, I forget his name, from the LA Dodgers who helps with stuff came in and put like straps on us and analyzed our swing, which was pretty cool. So like getting into that, and then how we scouted with Mississippi State. I loved how you got to take videos and you do certain counts, certain pitches and what pitchers throw. And I really love that about the game and just doing stuff with that part, that side I really like. And then also this year I got to help with the hitting part with Mississippi State softball, and seeing the look on a lot of the girls' faces when it just clicked for them was something that, like, oh, I wanted to keep doing this. I love it. But right now, I kind of want to keep playing softball as long as possible and knowing that coach is in the back burner. So, yeah.
I've seen you play recently. I think you're going to be able to do this for quite a while.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
All right. So, college days, Mississippi State, highs and lows, we were talking about it. You played with your sister for quite a while. You got an opportunity to play with her in college. Now, you guys are super close. You've told us that throughout the previous part of this conversation. But did that relationship change any when y'all got to college?
I don't think so. I think we got closer because we didn't have our parents with us. So if we fight, we had to figure out how to make up sometimes. But I think we got super close because, like, we're honestly, like you said, we're just best friends. And then we had people hang out with us, which are friends like Jackie McKenna, Annie Willis, and other people. But we just always hung out and we always clicked really well. So I think that's what helped make us successful, is that we clicked. Like, she knew when I was down or like something didn't feel right in my swing or I just wasn't in it, she knew how to help me, and vice versa her. And so having her there was like a huge help for Mississippi State softball in general.
Right. And it also helps no parents around when y'all hit the clubs around Starkville. Keep each other out of jail, that kind of stuff. You know, don't miss curfew, sneaking each other in so you don't miss curfew and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, something like that. But I don't know if my parents might watch it.
Your secret's safe with me. Only a few thousand people are going to see this video.
Oh, not too bad.
All right, so let's talk about a little more serious tone than you and your sister just hanging out having fun.
Yeah.
You had a teammate during your time at Mississippi State that had cancer.
She did.
And,
Alex,
and it was a huge, listen, I've never witnessed, and I told you I was on campus quite a bit during that time. I had never seen such an outpouring of support for a young lady in my life. And then to see the impact, first of all, she had on you guys as a team, but then she had an impact on the entire SEC.
Like, they were teams that
were honoring her that had no idea who she even was.
Absolutely. That's just the definition of who Alex was. Like, I got to play with her a little bit before Mississippi State with the Birmingham Thunderbolts a little bit, but just how the person she was and how, like, she was just there to have fun and enjoy life for even for the little time she had. And it was just something crazy knowing that teams all over the country, not just SEC, but even all over the country, supported her, and then being able to tell her story and what type of person he was. It's just, I'm just truly honored to do it with a lot of people.
Help me get this story right, okay? Mm-hmm. She was just one season at Mississippi State.
Yes, sir.
Now she was recruited and signed to play. They found out after she signed, they found a the cancer diagnosis.
She was
admitted.
She was diagnosed Christmas Day or the day after Christmas, mm-hmm. her junior year. So she was verbally committed, but the coach at time, Van Studeman, said, "Let's do it. I want to keep you. Whatever we got to do to make sure that you enjoy this time and you can play softball. I'm doing it." She stayed true to it, and then ever since then, it was the way they handled it was truly a blessing, and she got to enjoy everything that she had that one year, and I'm glad she got to do it with us, and I'm glad I got to experience it with the short amount of time. She really changed the way, honestly, how I think about softball and play. And for me, it's like the small things that for me, like say, like I'm going out there, I'm tired. I'm like, well, someone else in the world would kill to be in my spot right now, like especially Alex or young girls. Like that way, I look at it. Oh, excuse me. Like when, sorry, my computer fell. but like any day that I feel tired, not feel great, like my body's hurting, I'm like, people who've been through worse would kill to be out here right now. So why am I complaining? And it just makes me enjoy the game and not complain so much and just have a good time and enjoy the people around me and just love softball. That's what she wanted to do. So that's what I try to do.
Now, first of all, that's an amazing story, amazing testament for sure. I know what an impact she had on the campus at Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I saw it go across the SEC, which was just unbelievable. What coach actually recruited you to Mississippi State?
So I committed a long time ago, June 13th, 2013, which is when Beth Mullins, Van Studeman, and Alan Reach was the coaches at the time. That's okay. Who all recruited, and that's when I barely committed with my sister. They were the coaches.
Now, where were you in your journey when you committed?
I was 2013. I was just going into eighth grade. It's my eighth grade summer. Yes, sir. All right.
Committed as an eighth grader.
Yes. Good
I guess if you can hit a ball 300 feet, you know, go ahead and commit.
Might as well, I guess.
All right. So who was the coaching staff when you got there, though?
It was Van Studeman, Samantha Ricketts, Tyler Bratton. And then I think we had a volunteer, but we didn't have volunteers to my sophomore year, which was like Lexi Elkins, but it was mainly them three.
Okay. And when you left Mississippi State, who was the coaching staff?
It was Samantha Ricketts, Tyler Bratton, Josh Johnson, and then we did have DJ Sanders. Sorry, DJ. But DJ Sanders was our volunteer my senior year. Yeah.
So did you ever have that kind of flux? I mean, I know you play travel ball. You probably played for one of the same coaches and all that. Did you go through that in high school? Did you have a bunch of different coaches during high school, or you generally had the same one? Or
yeah, we had generally had the same one. I had a coach, same coach for 2 years, and then she retired, and then my dad stepped up. He got the head coaching job at Orange High School, where I went, and then ever since then it was my dad, and then my other coach, Tanya Day, and then Olivia McDonald, and Amber Palmer, all of them, that was Orange High School. And the first year, my dad was a coach. We won the state championship my senior year with him coaching. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool getting to experience that with my dad. But then Mississippi State went from Van Studeman to Ricketts, Coach Ricketts being the head coach. So I think it helped a lot that Ricketts was already there, so we had something kind of established with her and Coach Bratton, and then adding a good addition with Coach Josh Johnson, it was kind of, it wasn't easy. It was like difficult trying to find our own culture at first, like what Ricketts wants to make this program. But I think it's getting there. And after our second year, we made history. It was the first super regional ever. We had good team. We had a great team, great leadership with me, Annie Willis, Montana Davidson. A lot of people stepped up and just did the thing. And we just, you know, it was nice.
Yeah, you're kind of underselling that. I don't know if monumental even is. The campus was electrified. I'll just leave it there.
It was, I'm going to tell you, when
Mississippi State softball is trending above Mississippi State football and baseball in the same season, you ladies were doing something very special.
Yes, I think when I stepped on the field the first game day, when like over 2,000 people was there, I got chills. I was like, they're there for us. Because usually we go other places and it's like Alabama, Florida, they're there for them. But these people are here to see women's sports succeed, especially in softball. And that honestly gave me chills. And I think when I went to go catch, because we're a home team, I kind of took a second and like took it all in, was breathing like, this is where we wanted to be. And we got here, we did it. And I think it's still like a surreal moment. Actually, my mother-in-law has a portrait she printed out like on a canvas of the Super Regional, like the stadium full and everything. And it's so cool.
All right. So first of all, I have to revisit something because I didn't know this. I'm ashamed I didn't do my research well enough to know this. You played for your father in high school.
I did.
That had to have been the worst experience in the world.
No, it was good. You know,
because everybody knows when your parent is coaching you, they are on you harder and longer than any other person on the field.
Honestly, but at the same time, I think it kind of prepared me for college. Like him yelling at me was like nothing when the coaches yelled at me for something. And I just think he had high expectations for us and he knew our full potential. So like when he got onto me, at the time I didn't like it, but at the end of the day, when I'm older now, I kind of understand why he did it. And he was just pushing because he knew my potential. And
I played for my dad for 3 years. I'm telling you, well, not in high school, at youth league, but my dad stayed on me.
Yeah.
We would come off the field and he'd tell me, he said, you know, you're better than that, right? And I'm like, yes, sir, I know. He says, well, show me. That was his big deal. Well, show me that.
Yeah, this has been some good times. We kind of joke about it sometimes with him. This is one time when we were younger, and after all these years, I played slow pitch with him. And this is thing we always used to joke about when he missed the ball, grounder, playing slow pitch. I said, go back to 10U, because we joked about it. It's one thing he used to say when we were younger. And we laugh about it now. But, like, all the times that, like, parents just expect a lot of us and just they know our potential and, you know, and it was something good that I really, truly, like, I'm grateful for what he did for my sister and I, and even my mom, too. Like, my mom was kind of the cushion between it, but I think what he did really prepared us for college, and he pushed us, and they both made a lot of sacrifices to make sure that we had what we needed and got to where we needed to go, even when sometimes we couldn't afford it, they figured it out. They did it when we didn't even know we were struggling sometimes, and I got older, and I started to realize it, and it's something that I'm truly grateful for.
Yeah, moms are the best buffers in the world.
Yeah. See, my mom, she didn't play softball growing up, but she did, like, tennis, track, basketball. Like, my whole family's just from military and athletes. So,
your dad was military?
Both my parents were. My mom and dad actually met in the Army. My grandpa retired as a sergeant major. My husband just got out of the military. So we have military along the line. So having that, like that hard work ethic that they had and the guts and the grit they bestowed upon us, I think honestly is something that I'm grateful for, because it made sure that we worked our butts off. We earned every single thing we did. Nothing was given to us.
All right. Well, I'm sorry for that diversion, but when you hit me with your father was your high school coach, I'm like, how did I miss that? I mean, that's a whole – first of all, that could have been a whole episode right there. But anyway, so let's jump back to college. I'm sorry. Let's go back to
college. No, you're fine. All right.
Coach Ricketts.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you had a familiarity with her when she took over as a head coach. You sort of knew the direction she'd take the program. I mean, you knew, lip service is, you know, what they say, talk is cheap. She can say a lot of things, But then all she did was prove what she said she was going to do.
Yeah.
She took a team that was, I mean, let's be honest, before you guys, before y'all's classes started coming in, Mississippi State softball wasn't that good. I mean, it's
I think we slowly got better.
University, but Mississippi State softball was not something people talked about. And then suddenly she takes over, y'all electrify the campus, y'all go to a super regional. I mean, the place was rock. It felt like across the street at the baseball stadium. That's how insane it was. So what kind of influence did Coach Ricketts have on you?
Yeah, I think it was mostly Ricketts as a coach, but as well as a person. She was the type of coach that, yeah, she expected a lot from you as a player, but she also wanted you to be a successful woman outside of softball because, like I said, a lot of us only get softball for 4 years. So she wanted to make sure that we were ready to take on life after sports, you know? And I think that was a really a big thing that she harped was like, yes, I want you to be wonderful softball players, but also want you to be grown woman ready to take on the world. And I think that's one thing I truly admired about Coach Ricketts at that time. And even now, like she checks on us. And then like we always talk because like they were looking for actually a pitching coach and we were talking about it and talking about different coaching jobs and stuff like that. And she's always the one that I can go to make sure like I get advice or something that she sees that I don't. And she's really a good person to go to. And especially even Coach Bratton and Coach Johnson were really good. Like we call him T-Brat there, Coach Bratton. And we always joke about some stuff, like now that I'm not a player this past year, stuff that like just playing wise and stuff he sees, like he's a really good hitting instructor as well. And then Josh Johnson, Coach Johnson, him pitching and what he sees and how he calls pitches, I think it kind of helped me think, analyze pitchers going into Athletes Unlimited, how to call pitches, what to see, what works, what doesn't work and stuff like that. So all of them had a pretty nice impact on me. Even the coaches before then, Ben Studeman and stuff, taking a chance on a little girl from Hillsborough, North Carolina is something you can't never – you're just completely grateful for. So if it wasn't for her recruiting and then Beth Mullins and Alan Reach, you know, they're a big reason why I'm here. So I appreciate every step of every process on the way.
Yeah, just taking a chance on a little 13-year-old girl that hits 300-foot bombs. So that's
something like that, yes, sir.
All right, so – we got to talk about the individual accomplishments you had. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do realize you're sitting at the top of the record books, right? That's
it's pretty cool.
I know you don't think about that, but sometimes you have to, like, I don't know, you might be doing a Google search and stumble across it and you go like, holy cow, I got more home runs than anybody in SEC history.
I mean, that was, I think, going into my junior year before COVID, I didn't realize how close I was to the record. Like, I wasn't thinking about it, but, you know, people bring it up when you get close to it. So it's something I kept in the back of my mind. I was like, well, if I break this, it'll be a huge accomplishment for myself and stuff. But, you know, sometimes records get in your head. So I try not to think about it and just make sure that I do what was best for the team and make sure that everybody was on board doing what we had to do. And I happened to break the record, my senior year, like I think like 6 games in or something like that. I actually did it. My husband was watching that day because he was about to get deployed, and he actually got to get leave and he came and watched me and he watched me break it. So that was pretty cool as well.
Mm. I mean, 2-time All-American. I mean, I've been bringing up you hit the ball 300 feet a lot, but I mean, you're 2-time All-American. I mean, that means you were really good at least 2 years that you were there because they named you an All-American. Could you have ever in a million years fathomed it, you know, committing as an 8th grader that one day you'd be a 2-time college All-American?
No, not really.
That's the legend stuff we keep talking about. You know, your coach, Coach Ricketts, you know, NCAA legend. I mean, all she's doing is just making legends.
Yeah, I think – I didn't think, like, I just knew that I wanted to play softball and I wanted to get an education. And I knew I was pretty decent at softball. So each year I got better and better. And so, and I just kept falling in love with the game more, even if it's like Ricketts also gave me the respect and what's it called? Can't think of the word right now. To help coach when she's not around. So she gave me the permission, I guess you could say. So when she's not around, she let me help the girls as well, which helped me get better. Because a lot of people say when you teach, you actually help yourself as well. And so her having the trust, there you go, the trust in me to help when she's not around, kind of gave me a lot of like earned a lot of respect for her, because she's like, oh, well, Mia can do it. And then I can trust her to be with other girls. It really means a lot that she trusts me with that. Even as a sophomore, all the way up to where I am now, she trusts me with that. And I think that's where I kind of found my love to coach too, was teaching people and knowing, showing them that like it clicked for them, or things that they feel that works, and seeing that their success and they keep building is something pretty special too.
That's true. That's trust me, your name will be etched in Mississippi State, SEC, and NCAA lore forever now. Younger players, as you were getting older, at, you know, playing college days, did you feel a obligation to help the younger players? Was it a privilege or a, you know, a pleasure to mentor the younger players?
Yeah, I think it was kind of an obligation and a privilege to do it, because like, I want to make sure that when Mississippi State, when I stepped off the campus, that I want to leave it better than I found it. And I wanted to make sure that the player, once I leave, players knew their roles, knew what they had to do. And I think the senior class I had really stepped up, all of us stepped up to make sure that the next year, the kids coming in next year, were ready to go. And the ones, when we leave, the ones who step up are ready to lead. And I really took pride in that, especially with, like we said, making history our senior year, taking pride in like literally just leaving, like you said, a mark on Mississippi State, that when they think of Mississippi softball, they kind of think about that senior class and me. And like when I first committed there, also, I was like, I wanted to go somewhere where I can make something of the program. I didn't want to already have it established. I want to go somewhere, be the underdog, put us on the map where like, oh, Mississippi State can play, they can hang. And I think I really take pride in what we did there. And it's something I'm going to really cherish. And I'm glad that I was a part of it, I guess you could say.
Okay. Well, your state days are behind you, playing pro ball now. But let's talk about something first before we talk about anything about professional, because we're running a little short on time.
Yeah.
I might have to actually see if I can line up for you to come back so we can talk about that professional aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The hyphenated life. How's the hyphenated life treating you?
Oh, it's great, especially now that he just fully got an army. We got married last year in December. We eloped.
Well, first of all, let's back up a second. Mm-hmm. What's the young man's name?
His name's Sean Smith. Sean Smith.
And you guys met where?
We met in high school, actually. Okay. Funny story. I actually told my friends about this in Athletes Unlimited. We were in the same like gym class together. We were playing basketball, and I elbowed him in the nose. I busted his nose.
Broke my man's nose. Well, you had to marry him then.
Yeah, I was like, I guess I got to – I felt bad, so I guess I got to do it. But, no, yeah, he was a good guy, you know, and we both support each other through times of softball, and then him going into the military after my freshman year, you know, things were tough with distance and – we couldn't talk weeks at a time because he was in basic, and then he also got deployed last summer due to like situations going on that, you know, I can't say, but that was a tough time during my senior season. But
national security situation, we can't be talking about that.
Something like that.
Military stuff. I do have a quick question, a little side question here. So you broke my man's nose in gym class in high school. You essentially ended his athletic career. So he had to go in the military to try to save face. I guess.
But he always wanted to serve. And, you know, we talked about it going in. And I was like, you know, I respect your decision. You know, my whole family has been in the military, from my grandpa to uncles, mom and dad. That's how my parents met. And, you know, do it. Go for what you want to do. You're letting me do what I want to do. So go do what you want to do. And we just been strong ever since, and we got married last year, and now we're finally actually really together. We get to live together, just do stuff, and it's been a long time coming, but it's been so great, and I love him very much.
This is just me personally. I want to thank you for doing it right, actually getting married and then living together, not the other way around.
Yeah.
I know, and this is the world we live in now. A lot of folks just live together for a while, see if it's going to work, then they get married. So.
Yeah, well, I think kind of our situations put us in that position, but honestly, it's been super special, like finally actually getting to move in together. It was kind of weird at first because we always thought one of us was going to have to leave to either go back to Mississippi or go back to where he was stationed. And I was like, well, I was like, no, we're actually here. It's real. We're doing this now. And we haven't looked back since. And we've been doing great. He's actually just got accepted into North Carolina Central for college. So he's about to go back to school. And then I'm about to get ready to play. I'm actually going to, in a couple of days, I leave to go to play Ireland in Team USA with Team USA. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, but since you went in and brought up, congratulations on that. That was one of the things I was going to point out, that you just keep getting awards. You keep getting chances. Where do you guys, now that you are a married couple, now that you're hyphenated, I'm assuming you did that because of, you are me and Davidson. The marketing aspect of it. Now, we won't even talk about CG Sports. That's in the episode notes. Maybe also check her out and how to get in touch with her and all that. Yeah. Where are you guys? Or y'all are based out of where?
We're in North Carolina right now.
Your parents live in Georgia now. Where are you guys based out of?
We're based out of North Carolina. We're living in my hometown house actually right now until we start to figure stuff out. Because after I got done with Mississippi State, I literally had to pack all my stuff up and go to AUX, which I just played. And then now I'm here for a week and then going to Ireland for about 10 days. The next day when I get back, I have to go to Chicago. So we're kind of just chilling out until we figure out life after softball, I guess, and him getting ready for school.
Okay. Well, look, since you've agreed to actually come back in the future, a few weeks down the road or maybe a month, whatever.
Yeah.
And let's talk about your professional career. Cause like I said, I'm sorry. I knew this was going to happen. We were going to get talking. I went a little fanboy on you and I lost track of my time and now I'm running short on time. So if you would agree to it, we get you back on and we'll spend a whole episode talking about the profession that you now have, not just playing a profession. Cause we talked about this before we got started. I've watched. It's intriguing the way that league is set up. So we can talk for quite a while on that. And of course, any other updates? Can you tell us about going to Ireland and playing in the Olympics and all that stuff that normal people do? So
it's everyday things. Yeah, right, I would love to come back.
Look, before you get out of here though, before we run short on time here, let everybody know how they can track you on social media. I know you've got a website and all that kind of stuff. Let them know because I know certain fans or that have followed you want to keep track of you.
Yeah. So I'm mainly on Instagram and Twitter. I have a TikTok. I don't use it much, but my Instagram and Twitter is Mia, MIA, Sky, SKY, 3332. And then I have a Facebook, which I don't get on that much, but mainly it's Instagram and Twitter. And then I have a website. It's Mia S Davidson, .com. I'm pretty sure.
I think I actually put it in the episode notes. So if you don't get it right.
Sorry. I should know that. I'm so bad.
I know. Well, you got a lot going on. You got a lot going on.
Yeah. But mainly it's Instagram and Twitter. That's where you can catch me. It's like questions about softball life. I'm always on it. I'm pretty much glued to my phone all the time if I'm not doing something. So yeah, there's Instagram, MiaSky3332, as well as my Twitter, 3332. So yeah.
Let's see if we got all that. Let's see. CG Sports. You're represented by CG Sports.
I am.
And they can inquire. I actually did have that somewhere, but I don't know what I did with it. It's like Mia Davidson. Let me see if I got it here somewhere. Yeah, it's like Mia Davidson. I see it down in the episode notes. So if she didn't get it right, she apologizes.
Yes.
She knows that kind of stuff, but she's got a lot going on. I mean, she's fixing to go overseas and play ball. She's fixing to go play for the Olympics. I mean.
Yeah.
Give her, cut her some slack. So,
I'll be right next time.
First of all, I can't thank you enough for coming on. We were joking about this before we got started that I really can't believe when I reached out, the company represents you reached back out to me, and I'm like, holy cow, I'm fixing to get Mia Davidson on the show, which is amazing. We're a baseball themed show, but we always want to give the ladies their equal due because, softball and baseball. They're essentially the same now. I mean, the popularity levels of women's softball are through the roof at this point. And the next time we talk, we're going to talk about that because we're going to talk about the professional league that you're in. And the one thing I noticed, you said this earlier, and one thing you ladies emphasize at the high school, college, or whatever, little girls coming up to you wanting to be you.
Absolutely. I think that's another reason why I play.
That's a daunting task, to because you know that younger generation is watching everything you're doing. Well, we're going to talk about that the next time you and I chat also, because I have a few social responsibility questions I might want to ask you at that point. So,
All right,
guys, look, I cannot thank you enough for being on. I'm super excited to find out you're willing to come back on and finish this conversation.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely. Yes, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. You have a great evening, and then we will like I said, I'll be reaching back out to you. And hey, for our listening audience, we're going to have her back on. We're going to talk about a professional opportunity that she's embarked on now. So thank you, Mia. You have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. That's going to be all for us tonight. Like I said, I can't thank my guest, Mia Davison Smith, enough for coming on. And like I said, we're going to have her on in the next few weeks. Like I said, I got to see what her schedule looks like. As you just heard, she's going to be pretty busy. And we're going to shift gears and talk about just her professional life at that point. And that's pretty much it for this evening, guys. A couple of future guests we're going to have on in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to have on Stephen Dome and Nate Dome. Nate was a pitcher at Mississippi State and at Ball State before then. Him and his father, Stephen, are going to be on. We're going to be talking about a very special cause that has been highlighted about something Nate did. We're going to talk about that in depth. And a young man from the Mississippi Gulf Coast named Caden Irving. He's actually an Ole Miss commit. Played down at Goshen High School. He was a two-sport star. So we're going to be talking to him. That's the 23rd of this month. So you guys tune in. We can't thank y'all enough for supporting us. Like I said, like, share, subscribe if you like what you're seeing here. And, of course, if you want to support us in any way financially, there's a support link down in the episode notes that you can click on and help us out. Hey, guys, another one down. We'll see you guys on the next one. And y'all have a good evening from Rushing Them Back with Kobe White.